Chapter 6. To London. It was a 4-hour coach journey to London. As I had never been there before, I was a little nervous when I stepped out of the coach in the early afternoon. It was a short walk to Mr. Jaggers's office in a dark, dirty and narrow street. I went into the office with my bag in my hand and asked for Mr. Jaggers.
"He's in court at the moment," said the man at the desk. "I'm Wemmick, Mr. Jaggers's clerk. Are you Mr. Pip?"
I said I was.
"Mr. Jaggers asks you to wait in his office," said Wemmick. "I don't know how long he'll be in court, but his time is valuable, so he won't be longer than necessary."
Wemmick was a short man of 40 or 50 with a square wooden face and a stiff wide mouth. He showed me into a small dark office. The only window was in the ceiling with a strange view of the tops of houses all around. I did not want to wait there, so I told the clerk I was going for a walk. When I came back, half an hour later, there was a small crowd of people in the street. They were all waiting for Jaggers because they were clients who needed his help, and some of them were discussing his skills in court. Suddenly, Jaggers was there. He put a hand on my shoulder and turned to the crowd.
"I have nothing to say to you," he said to two men at the front. "I told you at the start that you might win in court or you might lose. Have you paid Wemmick?"
"Yes, sir,"
said one of the men.
"Then you can go," said Jaggers. "No, not another word. If you speak again, I won't help you."
Next, he turned to a woman.
"Amelia, isn't it?" he said. "What do you want?"
"It's my William, sir," said the woman.
"William is in good hands," said Jaggers. "I haven't got time for your questions. Have you paid Wemmick?"
"Yes, sir."
"Well, that's all you can do. Not another word, or Wemmick will give you your money back and I won't help you."
My guardian then took me into his office. He told me that I was to stay with Herbert Pocket, the son of Mr. Matthew Pocket, my teacher. On Monday, Herbert was going to take me to meet his father. Next, Jaggers told me how much money I was going to get every week. It seemed a lot to me.
"You'll spend too much, I expect," he said, "and get into debt."
Then he called Wemmick and told him to take me to my new home.
"Have you ever been in London before?" asked Wemmick
as we walked along a busy street.
"No,"
I answered.
"I was new here once," he said, "many years ago. It's hard to remember now."
"Is it dangerous?" I asked.
"You can be robbed or killed in London," he answered. "But that can happen anywhere if there's money to be made."
I asked if he knew Matthew Pocket.
"Yes, I do," he answered. "He lives in Hammersmith, about 5 miles west of London by the river."
We went through a gate into a dark little square full of cats, with 6 or 7 small houses around it. Many of the houses looked empty. We walked up some dirty stairs which smelled of smoke and mice. At the top was a door with the words "Mr. Herbert Pocket" on it. Next to it was a notice, "Back in 5 minutes."
"You'd better wait here for him," said Wemmick. "I must go back. I look after the money for Mr. Jaggers, so I'll see you quite often at the office."
I waited outside Herbert Pocket's room for about half an hour before I heard footsteps coming up the stairs. They belonged to a man of my age carrying 2 bags of fruit. Mr. Pip? Mr. Pocket? I'm so sorry, the young man said. I wanted us to have some fruit after dinner, so I've been shopping.
He unlocked the door, pushed it, but could not move it. I took the fruit so that he could push harder. Finally, the door opened and we went inside. He started telling me about the apartment, but I was just staring at him. Then he looked back at me.
You're the boy from Satis House, he said. And you, I said, are the pale young gentleman.
We both laughed and shook hands. Herbert explained that he was visiting his aunt, Miss Havisham, when we had met 10 years before at Satis House.
She wanted to look at me, he said. I think maybe she was going to give me some money, and maybe she wanted me to marry Estella when we were older. But Estella didn't like me, so nothing happened.
I'm sorry, I said.
I'm not. I don't like Estella.
You know that Miss Havisham brought her up to hate all men.
Is Estella your cousin? I asked.
No, she's not a relative. She was adopted. It's a long story, so I'll tell you about it over dinner.
But what about you? Mr. Jaggers is your guardian, I believe.
Yes, that's right, I said. And he suggested your father as my teacher.
I told him more of my own story and also asked him to help me. I knew that my manners were not good, and I asked him to tell me if I did anything wrong.
Of course, he said. And please call me by my first name, Herbert.
And you must call me Pip.
Herbert's apartment was small and untidy, but it was comfortable, and the dinner, which Herbert had bought at a restaurant around the corner, was excellent. After we had eaten quite a lot, I reminded him that he was going to tell me about Miss Havisham.
Of course, he said. But first, can I say that in London, we don't usually put our knives in our mouths. We use the fork for that.
He said this in such a friendly way that we both laughed.
Miss Havisham's mother died when she was a baby, continued Herbert. And her father, who was a rich man, married again and had a son, Arthur. Arthur was not a good son, so when their father died, he left most of his money and his house to Miss Havisham. He left his businesses to Arthur, who spent money quickly and was soon in debt. Do have another glass of wine, Pip, and can I just say that in London we don't turn the wine glass up onto our noses?
I smiled.
About 25 years ago, continued Herbert, Miss Havisham fell in love with a man. It was clear to everyone except her that this man only wanted to marry her for her money. First, this man persuaded Miss Havisham to buy her father's businesses from Arthur at a very high price. Many people, including my father, tried to persuade her not to, but she didn't want to listen. She ordered my father out of the house, and she's never seen him again. The wedding day was agreed and the food was bought, but on the day of the wedding, the bridegroom didn't come. He wrote Miss Havisham a letter.
Which she opened at 9:20? I added.
That's right, said Herbert. I've since discovered that the bridegroom was working with Arthur, selling Mr. Havisham's businesses and sharing the money. I don't know where the two men are now.
And Estella? I asked. You said she was adopted.
Yes, said Herbert.
but I don't know when or why. She's always lived with Miss Havisham at Satis House. Later that evening, Herbert told me more about himself. He was working in a bank on very little salary, but he wanted to start his own business, buying strange and expensive things from Asia and bringing them to Europe by ship. All he needed was a lot of money to buy a part of a shipping business. On Monday afternoon, Herbert and I took a coach to Hammersmith and went to his father's house. Mr. Matthew Pocket was a kind man with grey hair. He had two other students. Startop was a friendly man of my age who tried hard but was not a good student. And Drummel, a few years older, came from a very good family. Drummel moved in a strange, lazy way, like a spider, and he was very selfish. The three of us studied with Mr. Pocket every day, but in the evening we were free. We each had a boat and we used to row on the River Thames near Mr. Pocket's house. Startop and I were soon friends and we used to row our boats beside one another and chat, but Drummel always rowed behind us.